If you can remember anything about the 60s, you weren't really there. In this podcast, we will explore life in the 60s in the United States. Many fascinating people were born and grew up in the 1960s, and they just never get talked about. I'm aiming to focus more on the poorer/middle-class citizens who struggled throughout this time period, rather than the rich people that everyone already knows about. I'm mainly focused on the struggles of the people in the 60s, as it is amazing how much some of the poor people and immigrants struggled and faced hardship and still managed to survive and establish themselves into society. Now, I'm your host, Austin Barrett. Welcome to my podcast, Searching the 60s. Who am I here with?
My name is Nori Neary Barrett, and I am Austin's mother. And I'm happy to be here to assist in this interview. I'm very happy he asked me to speak with him today.
Well, I'm also happy that you're here. Could you tell me a little bit of background information about yourself?
I was born in 1963 up on a farm in upstate New York. We had racehorses on our farm. And I moved here to Houston, Texas in 1988. And I ran my own business for about 40 years. In fitness and rehabilitation and massage therapy, and I am still currently doing that. I'm married and have one son, Austin.
Now, what was it like to grow up on a farm?
Growing up on a farm was a lot of work for all of us, but it was also quite lovely because I got to spend so much time with the animals and with nature. That was very rewarding, and it allowed me to experience a lot of peace within a chaotic household.
What would you say would be one difference between growing up when you did versus the kids of today growing up now?
Well, for sure, I would think everyone's going to agree with the fact that there was no social media, so we all tend to come together and spend more time together, and we were very present for each other, and our imaginations worked a little bit more because we were very creative at finding things to do to keep ourselves happy and entertained. It was fun. We had some good times with my family. I spent a lot of time with my cousins. We were all very, very close, and we had a lot of fun playing outside on our farm and coming together very frequently.
Do you have a favorite story of hanging out with your cousins?
Oh boy, yes. We had these cousins that lived a little bit away from us, and they lived on a farm too, and they had a foundation in their barn. We got in a lot of trouble when we got together with these. It was like something happened and we became wild children. They had a foundation cracking underneath their barn, and we thought it would be fun if we just moved all the rocks out from under the barn, and we went in the house and told our fathers that, and they just looked at us like, oh my God, the barn's gonna come crumbling down. We got in a lot of trouble for doing that, and then my father and my uncle had to like take a week off of work to pour the cement and the foundation and put all the stones back.
So it didn't end up falling down then?
No, it didn't, thank God. But oh my God, that was just one of a million stories that we had. It was fun. We had a good time though. We were never bored. Never.
So what did you imagine life being like while you were growing up?
I always knew that I was extremely independent and that I never liked taking orders for everyone. I always knew what was best for me. It was just like something that happened in my life. I had to grow up young, very fast. I felt like I knew that I would always be self-employed at doing something. I liked to move. I liked to walk, and I loved to dance. So the fact that I went into physical movement and teaching people how to heal with that just evolved. That's the best I could say right now.
So back to saying that you lived in Houston, what was one difference of living in the North versus here in the South?
It's funny, up north, there still tends to be a lot of strong ethnicity. Like, you know, a lot of people settled up in New York with Ellis Island, and I know that sounds funny, but a lot of the traditions are still very strong within a lot of the families. Like, I grew up Italian, and it's not just the food and the laughter and the coming together, but there are also a lot of background things in the families, like not having a lot of money, not having a lot of education. Those were kind of things that I felt like were much stronger there than when I moved here. There was just more diversity in the people here. And I felt like when I moved here that I really could break free of some of those patterns and those thought forms that I grew up with in my family. So it was a good thing. It was a good separation for me to move here. It taught me how to think for myself, and it also taught me to be who I wanted to be, not who everyone else wanted me to be.
Now, are you fully Italian, or do you have anything?
I am fully Italian. Both of my grandfathers on both sides were born in Italy.
Where in Italy?
My father's father was born in Rome, Italy, and my mother's father was born in a small town called Gallicia.
Now, what was life like with your dad?
My father grew up very poor, so he was very determined to work hard physically to provide for us, and he really was driven with a goal to break out of that pattern of being poor. So he worked a lot physically hard. He worked on the farm, but he was also a sheet metal worker and in the construction world. So he wasn't around very much because he worked a lot. But I always knew that he loved me as much as he was capable of. But because he was so driven like this and working so much, he wasn't very present for all of us in many ways. My mom was more the emotional nurturer in the family when he just worried about working. I could tell he was frustrated a lot, and from working physically, it was hard on him. And I saw it then, and I still feel it now for him. So that was a lot of our background. And then my father, when he was about 50, he fell off of scaffolding on a job about 15 feet and landed on his back. And all of our lives changed at that moment when he could no longer work, and he was very ill. I think that his accident and him not really taking responsibility to heal himself in any way, especially physically. I think that's why I grew up to do what I did, to help people to physically heal and know that when you physically heal, you're also healing on many other levels. And you start to recognize that you have other gifts besides just working physically hard. I think that God was trying to tell my father that it's time for you to move into doing something new. You can't keep going at the pace you are now. You're not stopping to see another way. So I think God stopped him, but I don't think that he took the path to empower himself to move forward. And I saw this, and I think that's why I was so determined to not be that way, to take responsibility for myself.
Would you say that his lack of open-mindedness and trying to heal himself is the reason he's in such bad condition now?
Yes, I think that. But I think what it stems from with him was fear. He didn't have a high school education. My father quit school in 10th grade to work to help support his family. So he couldn't read really well. He could read, but not real well. He wasn't confident in himself. And I think the fear of looking foolish and not being confident was what limited him in that time.
So he was scared of change
then. He was scared of change. He was very scared of change. And a lot of people are. A lot of people can't overcome that. But yes, and it allowed him to get angry too, because he felt so stuck, but I don't think he could see that that's where his anger was coming from.
So you said that he wasn't home very much. How old were you when he actually just up and left?
Oh, he was, after his accident, you know what, it was probably, I don't know, maybe I was like 16. He started to just, like, he was living there, but he would go away to Florida and visit friends there and stay there for 2 weeks, and he would just kind of say that he felt better living down there with all his physical pain, because it wasn't as cold as it was. So he was in and out of our lives, but I would say that I was 25 when my parents finally got a divorce and sold their home and really split. And I had left by then. I left when I was 25 and I moved here. But I stayed with my mom a few years just to help her heal emotionally. And I'm really close to my mom. We have a really great relationship, and I really wanted to stick around to help her with that.
Now, what really changed for you when he left?
I know this sounds weird, but how do I say this? As unstable as our life was, it was my version of stable. So when he left, that really kind of crushed me a little bit. I had to realize that there was absolutely no stability left anymore, and I had to come up with my own version inside as to what that really meant to me. So I just started having to really work on myself at a deeper level, and I realized that it was just up to me to create that, to take care of myself, and to know that me with God was gonna help me get through that.
So was it your faith and kind of your remaining family that helped you get through the tough times of him leaving?
Yes, and as much as my, you know, I'm telling you all these things about my father, I'm very much like him in the way of being very determined to, you know, the message my whole life from my relationship with my father and growing up the way we did was stand up on your own two feet. That's what I had to learn to do from a very young age. It's carried, sometimes the things in your life that your parents aren't giving you is really what they are giving you. Those are the lessons you learned that make you who you are today. Because truly I believe that God gives us everything we need to grow. And that's what my spirit needed to grow. I needed to learn how to stand up on my own two feet and make my own choices and become empowered on my own to move forward.
So do you think that independence was the most important lesson you learned from this?
Yes. To be independent, and I realize that we are all responsible for cultivating like our inner happiness and our inner gardens of happiness, knowing what we're gonna, seeds we're gonna plant to create what we want, because that's your peace and your happiness is what is going to get you through. But it's also assists in healing everyone around us, because when you're happy, I think your light shines and you become a real positive influence for everyone around you. We always talk about changing the world. We don't have to change the world. We have to change ourselves, because when we change ourselves, every single person in our immediate environment will benefit from that. If you're peaceful, you're spreading peace. If you have anxiety and anger, that's what you're going to spread to your friends, to your immediate family, and then they're going to go out there and they're going to spread the same thing. So when we change ourselves, we have that control to only change ourselves, but then we change everything around us.
So, what ways would you say you've changed yourself from these experiences with your dad?
I would say that, how do I say this? There is no end to the ascension of our spirits, and every situation, you know, turns up something else that's been hiding within us that we sometimes have to deal with. So what I've learned is, you know, what I've learned most importantly is I've learned to pray a little different. I don't ask God yes and no questions. I ask him empowered questions like, show me what I need to know to change this that keeps happening in my life. Show me what my responsibility is to get a different outcome here. Show me what's hiding from me so I can do this, versus just asking God to do it for you. I think that that's important, because when you do that, I think God is saying, okay, that's what I want. Somebody who's willing to do the work. And when you show him that, he is right there beside you every step of the way, showing you what your next step is. So yes, it has changed completely how I live. And had my father never disappointed me, I wouldn't be this person today, and I would have never had to work on myself the way I have. So, yeah.
So, would you say that this whole experience has shaped you to be a better person?
Yes, it has. It has. For sure. For sure, and it's ongoing. As I said before, you never reach a place and stop. We're always learning from the inside out.
So we've talked about its effect on you. How did it affect the rest of your family?
So my older brother, he was kind of off on his own at that point. He had moved out and he was not living anywhere nearby. It really affected my younger brother the most, because my father was barely around for him. He was 7 years younger than I am. So it was a lot on my mom, because my father left without offering my mother any financial support either. I mean, she worked, but she also was responsible for my brother's schooling, all of his education, as well as, paying for the mortgage and everything. They sold the house, but, you know, she moved into a smaller place. So yes, it was difficult emotionally on my brother John, but it was more difficult financially for my mom, and to know that she was the only emotional support my brother had. But they have a great relationship. They had a great relationship, and they learned to really pull it together and help each other.
That's good. So what's your relationship like with your family now?
My relationship with my mom has always been great. My relationship with my older brother, I'm very fortunate that he moved here when Austin was a baby, because he lost his job in New York and him and his wife moved here. So it was wonderful that we all got to be together again. My other brother, he lives in New Mexico, and we talk and we see each other, you know, if I go out there on vacation. So everything's good with my family. I do not speak with my father, though, because that was his choice. That's kind of a long story. That was his choice, though. That's what I'll say. And I respect his choice. But a lot of that has to do with the people who are in his life now telling him what he should do versus him deciding on his own what's right for him.
So, from all these experiences we've talked about, what is one piece of advice you'd give me on how I should live?
I think that the most important thing, Austin, is that you always move from your heart. Do what makes your heart sing. Become who you want to become. And the most important thing that I have realized is to live in the present moment, because everything we worry about in the future, we're being taught right now, and you're going to miss it. You're going to miss everything if you're too busy thinking about the future. You're going to miss what God is trying to teach you right now, that is going to prepare you for who you will become, and to always stay in your own lane and work on yourself, because you are responsible for your own inner peace. There is no one else that is responsible for that. It's our job to do that. And I am, and it's not always about what you become. It's who you become in the process, and who you become is how we serve each other. We are all, every person and every gift that every person has in this life is important. And just because there's money affiliated with what we do for our jobs doesn't mean that's any more important than what someone else has. We have to always remember that the web of life that we all create is why we're here, and we're all able to move forward and live on this beautiful planet.
Well, thank you for taking the time to answer these questions.
Thank you so much for asking me. I'm very honored to be part of this interview.
I thought this episode of Searching the 60s gave a new insight into what life was like in the 60s from that of someone who wasn't altogether well off and also missing a parent. I'd like to thank my mom for allowing me to interview her about her amazing life story. And I'd also like to thank the audience for listening. Until next time.